head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
Welcome in to spend some time with me, Rick Redding, your host on the Rusty Satellite Show. It is the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I've been at it each and every week for 268 straight weeks, and we have some great guests this week. In the second part of the show, our Bourbon City guest of the week, brought to you by my friends at Louisville Tourism, is Carrie Richardson. And I've known Carrie a long time. She's the president of the Bourbon Women Association, and they are having a big event this weekend. And it's an interesting organization you should really know about, and you'll be seeing a lot of women drinking bourbon in town this weekend. The event is totally sold out, and it's a great organization. And as I say in the interview, I think I'm going to try to sneak in at the Brown Hotel for some of the events there. It's called Symposium, okay? And before we get to my first guest, I'll tell you a little bit about our sponsors. This show is sponsored, of course, the Louisville Tourism, sponsors the Bourbon City Guest of the Week. My friends at iCare Institute, I am a very happy, satisfied LASIK customer, thanks to my friends at iCare Institute. You have, if you want to talk to them about LASIK or any other eye issue that you have, they're right down there on Story Avenue. It's 502-589-1500 for the Eye Care Institute. Give them a call. Tell them that Rusty Satellite sent you. And also, my other self-improvement plan is my total optimization of my health. And I've done it under the supervision of Heiser Health and Peggy Heiser, who's taken me really on an amazing journey since March. I have lost. Now, the current count, I officially started at 229, and the other day I weighed 191. So it's always a struggle. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change, and the things I'm eating are consistently. I've given up a lot of foods that I used to love, and embraced vegetables and fruits and stuff like that. So. You can do it too. Call them at Heiser Health. You can go online at heiserhealth.com. They got a lot of great programs there. I work out three times a week at the Melwood Art Center, where they have a workout studio. It's really great. And of course, my other sponsor is Passport Health Plan. I'm going to tell you a little bit about why our first guest is related to Passport Health Plan in just a second. I just want to remind you, first of all, that we like awards just like anybody else. I have won in the past several Leo Weekly Reader's Choice Awards. I don't know what year it was, but I have Louisville KY has won for best website, and I have won for best feature writer, if you can believe it, one time. And so it's great to get awards. I still got them at home, and they are right now conducting voting for the Reader's Choice Awards. Way back in the day, I lobbied the folks at Leo. They were different folks then for including the category Best Local Podcast, and they have finally this year done it. There is a category under media for Best Local Podcast. So if you go to Leo's site and click on Reader's Choice, you got to vote for 30 categories. There must be 200 or something. There's a lot. There's 9 categories, and each category has about 30 things you can vote best of for. So there's a lot. It's a big time investment, but if you go to the media section, right there you can find Rusty Satellite Show, or you can't find it. You can pencil it in. You can type it in on your voting register and vote for the Rusty Satellite Show and some other stuff. There's a lot of things on the ballot that have been featured here on the show. And so hopefully we'll be able to celebrate some of our Rusty Satellite Show alumni as winners. Let's hope. All right. Now, the reason I met Richard Sullivan is because I'm doing this project for Passport Health Plan, and there's a website, passportwellbeing.com, and under the community, you can go there right now and find 50 or so stories that I've written over the last year about people and places in the West End, and it's really cool. So Richard Sullivan is an artist, and he has a wonderful studio in Portland at the Dollfinger Building, which is a rehab project that Gil Holland did, and and there are a lot of great organizations and people in this building. You may remember, I think Danny Syme was on this show a year or so ago. But I was curious about Richard because he was, I was told he was a pitcher. He was a former baseball player. He was a left-handed pitcher in the Atlanta Braves organization, and his story is just so fascinating to me. And I want to tell you right at the outset that if you want to check it out, Richard is having a half-off sale of his art in his studio at the Dollfinger Building through the end of September. I just saw it on Facebook. You can check it out. Go to Richard Sullivan on Facebook, and you can see the work. Richard's work is primarily sports. He's done a lot of baseball players. He's done some. He's got a great shot of a great piece on Lamar Jackson down there, and he's really working into the equine industry. So he's done a lot of work. He's making a living as a full time artist, and is really great. And the most amazing thing he's got is that when his baseball career ended with the Braves, he kept in touch with people in the organization. And to make a long story short, he ended up doing 18 paintings that are now in the SunTrust Park, which is the Atlanta Braves new stadium down in Atlanta. And it's a big coup for Richard, and who grew up here in Louisville in the East End at Ballard, and finds himself in this great studio in Portland, and really loves it. I really enjoyed getting to meet him. And so right now, you're going to get to hear my interview with Richard Sullivan.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and our Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at PassportHealthPlan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
And today I'm in Portland at the wonderful studio of Richard Sullivan. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
This is an amazing place. I'm looking at the art on the wall, and it's Hank Aaron, Chipper Jones. Your story, I guess, amazes me, coming from Louisville, and now you've had a pro baseball career, and now you're every day an artist.
Yeah, it's definitely not something I would have thought about, 10 years ago, and when I was first going to college, I was always focused on baseball, and I didn't really know what I was going to do with my artwork, but I knew I needed to finish my baseball career and reach my full potential in that. So, okay. And I had never really thought about, what was the future like, but now I'm, living in it.
So. Yeah. I don't imagine a lot of baseball players go into life as an artist afterwards, but it's not unreasonable to think that it's something you can do. And amazingly, I guess I would ask you about, your biggest job yet. You got the opportunity to paint this series on the Atlanta Braves, that is the team you played for.
Right. Yeah. It was
How'd
a dream come,
come
true. Well, I had stayed in touch with a few people from the Braves organization, mainly Jonathan Scherholz, who was my one of my coaches when I was playing. He had played for the Braves. He's the son of the president, John Scherholz.
Yeah.
And we had become really good friends when I played, and I just always stayed in touch with him. And once I started painting, I kept reaching out to him. And, a few years went by, and I found out they were building a new stadium. And I was like, wow, that would be a cool opportunity. So I kind of molded my work, and, I started painting larger, and I started I had developed my watercolor style. I had everything in place, but I just needed an opportunity for them to see my work. Okay. And eventually I got interview. I flew down there and met with the president, the vice president, everybody you need to meet with to make those types of decisions. So, and they were very supportive, and they brought me back on, and they were like, "You're on the team again." And but that was 2 years before the stadium had been built, so I had to wait another 2 years to actually finish the project.
And you created 15 images that are today at their SunTrust Park?
Yeah, 15. So 5 of each World Series win, and then 3 more paintings of in their executive offices.
Okay.
So I did a portrait of John Sherholtz and a few more of Bobby Cox. And
okay.
So yeah, it was a very intense time for me. They finalized the project in December, and they needed everything done in April.
Wow.
So I had 4 months to paint 18 paintings, and I was spending here every day for 12 hours, pretty much just focusing on that. So yeah.
Well, very cool. Well, let's talk about here for a second, because I'm certainly interested in Portland. We're here in the Dolfinger Building, and you've got what looks like what used to be a classroom, and right. looks like plenty of room for you. What brought you here to the Dolfinger?
Yeah, it was an interesting story as well. I first reached out to Stephanie Curtis of Portland Investment Initiative. And that's a branch of Gil Holland's kind of umbrella. He's very invested in the Portland community, and I was living out of town, 3 years ago, and just kept hearing about Portland, kept hearing about the renovations and the kind of the energy that's going on here. And it was kind of lined up with this Braves project. I was knew I was needing a bigger space to paint, and knew I needed to find a studio space. So,
sure.
And I couldn't afford where I was living. I was living in Boston,
okay.
and I couldn't afford a studio space up there. So I started looking back home, and I found, and I talked to Stephanie, and she was like, "Well, we actually have a building that's about to be open in 6 months." So I flew back here and met with her. Actually, my mom. So then I was like, "Mom, like, can you go over there and look at it?" And she was like, "I don't know about, like, it looks like a nice building, but I don't know." And I was like, "All right, well, I'll fly down and check it out myself." And just the first time, I remember the first day I was in here, the lighting was beautiful. You could tell it was a beautiful building, and, you know, it needed a lot of work. It needed years of work, but I could, like, just looking at in this room, like, the lighting is the same, and just these big beautiful windows, and I could tell that I was like, this is it. So
okay and just for our listeners, you certainly went to Ballard High School. I'm guessing you were in the East End.
Yeah, I grew up in St. Matthews, so
okay.
Portland was a very new thing for me until, you know, I didn't honestly wasn't around the West End a lot, and I didn't know a lot of the struggles that have been going on here
okay.
and, until, you know, my adult life. So I feel very fortunate to be aware of them now and to be a part of this community.
Sure, sure. So you left after high school. I know you went to school down in Georgia. You were in the Braves organization.
Yes.
And eventually, as happens with all baseball players, your career ends.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out what to do.
Right.
And so what did you do? I mean, what year did you quit baseball?
2013 was my last year, and I had a year left of school. So I was drafted as a junior.
Okay.
And I played 6 years of baseball. And then so I had 1 year left of undergrad, and I was like, well, I'm going to finish that. And that's the only thing I knew. You know, at that point, like, it was like one day at a time at this point, you know.
Yeah, certainly.
And so I went back to Savannah and finished my undergrad, and started painting portraits, and I found watercolor, and I was getting better at that. I started missing baseball too, but I knew baseball was done, but I was like, needed to be connected to it again.
Right.
So I started painting some players I played with, some of my friends that had gotten to the big leagues, and just started like trying to figure out my style and my subject, and connecting to this sport that has been a part of my life for my entire life.
And, yeah.
It's been such a big part of my upbringing, and everything I've like learned about life has come through baseball a little bit. So I needed to still be connected to it. And so, yeah, it was just a series of like small wins after small wins. I donated a painting to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, and it was accepted, and now it's a part of their permanent exhibit.
Do you remember, like, the first painting you sold?
I remember, well, one painting in here is, like, the first watercolor sketch I've ever done. But the first painting I've ever sold, probably to my mom or something. But I do remember those first few months where, like, I was like, where things happen where you're just like, wow, like, it just drives you forward in a way that you get these positive feedbacks from people, and it just makes you continue what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I was this, starving artist for many years, but not in the feedback. You were getting like that, those really small wins that just kept you moving forward. And I think that's a really important thing for a lot of artists at the very beginning. It's just like that, because you're not going to become successful overnight. Yeah. Hardly anybody does anything.
Whole idea of making a living as a professional artist is, I don't know when that, tell me when that came to your idea that was what you were going to do.
Well, I think I just started focusing on these goals that I have, like getting into the Braves Stadium. I knew that was a big goal for me, and I kept at that for 3 years. And
okay,
no matter what happened, and I sacrificed a lot for just to get to that point. So, and now, it's a scary prospect being a, full-time artist or trying to make this as your living, because at this point, I have momentum now, but I don't know what's, I need to recalibrate and make those 5 years.
Well, I say certainly going beyond baseball paintings.
Yeah, for sure.
I've seen equestrian stuff. I've seen your studio, a lot of that. Going forward, where is your focus going to be?
Right. So that's, been the big underlying goals that I'm trying to do this year is, moving forward with the equestrian, with football, basketball, more sports, but also, I do want to get away from sports, and I do want to see what else is out there for me. Just as far as I know, watercolor, and I'm trying to paint in oil and acrylic now. So just like exploring a little bit new territory and just trying to mix it up and not stay stale in what I'm doing, because I think at this point I'm getting a little bit bored of what I've been doing the past like 4 years.
Okay. So. Well, let me ask you, let's get back to Portland. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned you didn't know much about the city, but you feel a sense of community now? Is that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, ever since I moved in here, it's changed my life. Like my friend group is in Portland. My community, like the people I've met are like they go to the table and Cup of Joy and every single day, and I know I'm like the regular customer in there, and just seeing the people here and seeing how different it is from your perception, and
sure,
this is a community like anything else, and it's a really, I think it's got the most energy in Louisville and in the West End, and people are wanting it to succeed now, which is different than, maybe 20 years,
right.
20
right.
years ago. So
you've been here like a couple of years.
Two years.
So you've seen change just since you've been here.
Yeah, I have, especially with some of the restaurants that have come in and a lot of the there's a lot of entrepreneurs coming in, and I know that there's a lot more that's, I think, under like the U of L, their MFA program is about to be opened up, and but smaller than that, like just within this building, I was the first one here. Nobody was in here for 6 months, and now it's fully occupied with artists and with nonprofits, and it's a thriving ecosystem just in this building. So, People are everybody in this building is trying to make a difference and wants Portland to succeed. So I think everybody that's moving to Portland now and, you know, is wanting everyone to succeed, you know.
Sure.
So I think it's those type of people like Gil and everybody else that they bring people in here that are going to add their own little element to it.
Sure. Well, that's a great message, Richard. I appreciate you showing me your studio.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
I'll be back.
All right.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
All right, and thank you again to Richard Sullivan. I hope you can get down there to his studio in the Dolfinger Building. It's at 25th Street in Montgomery, I believe is the cross street, down in the West End in Portland. And it's worth it just to go down and see the studio. Richard would he's a very cool dude, so hope you get to meet him. Anyway, back to the rest of the show. This is the Rusty Satellite Show, the home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This portion of the program, I always like to talk about some things that are catching my eye in the world of Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. Thanks to our friends at Louisville Tourism, I am a certified tourism ambassador, so I keep up with things that are going on. You're hearing this probably on Thursday, but on Wednesday night I went to the, I haven't done it yet, but as I'm recording this, I'm planning to go to the opening of the Rabbit Hole Distillery Tours. They're having a press event over there, so I love those folks at Rabbit Hole. You've heard Kaveh Zamanian on this show before. And it's a big milestone. It's another big event. There is not too much bourbon things to do, as you'll hear from Carrie Richardson later on in this show. She's our Bourbon City Guest of the Week this week. But in the news, the big story that caught my eye was involved Louisville Magazine. It's a media story. Louisville Magazine has been purchased. It has a new owner. He is Matthew Barzin, who is just a tremendous individual. He is former ambassador. He's been in politics. He helped Obama, and he has been in media, and that's what he is interested in. I'm trying to get him on the show in the very near future. Those of you familiar, I'm sure you're familiar with Louisville Magazine and Louisville.com. I've done some work with them in the past, and Barzin is just a great person to lead it. He's very technologically savvy, and I'm anxious to see what changes he has, if any, for the publication and the website, which has honestly been a little bit of a challenge. I think they've certainly settled on a format and a method for presenting things on Louisville.com. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of changes are made with the new ownership at Louisville Magazine. That deal is effective at the end of August, so it's very quick. So we're trying to get Matthew Barzin on. We'll see if that happens. A couple of things from my E-Drink Talk show that we do every week. The one is the opening of Martin's Barbecue in the old Lynn's Paradise Cafe. Now, I don't think any restaurant in town has been written about more than Lynn's Paradise Cafe was, and the several years that it's been since it's been closed, there's been a lot of speculation, and then Martin's bought it, and it's been at least a year. It didn't happen as fast as a lot of people expected, and so that's going on. That opened this week. I actually got my days messed up, and I went a day early, but I did get to walk around. It's a cool-looking place. There are some remnants of Lynn's in there, but good for Barrett Avenue. And, you know, it's right across from the old Monkey Wrench, which sometime soon is going to open as a vegan restaurant, V-Grits. Not sure what the opening date on that one is. Downtown, a new Taco Lucador will open up on August 30th. So that's another one. That's a very popular place, expanding rapidly. Because in the Olay restaurant group, they're really great folks. We had a guy from Matzo Pie on this week, Tom Edwards, who was on the Eat Drink Talk podcast this week, and fascinating stuff. He's going to open a new Matzo Pie in Distillery Commons in sometime in a date to be named later. He joked with us that it was he's going to be open for Derby, like everybody says, but he didn't say which Derby. So it could be a while. Tom's very deliberate about what he does, but if you've ever been to his place out in Anchorage, It is a tremendous spot for pizza and bread, and makes it all himself. Mills the grain himself out there. So that's something that is pretty cool that's going on. Talk about restaurants. And now we've got to keep following this John Schnatter story. Maybe someday John will. Now that he's where he is, I would love to have him on the show. Schnatter is not going away. Let's just put it that way. He started up a new website called SavePapaJohns.com. You can go check that out. And it opens. There's a picture of him, and it says, "I am Papa John." He says, "I built Papa John's from the ground up and remain its largest shareholder. I love my company, its employees, franchisees, and customer." And he says, "The board wants to silence me. So this is my website and my way to talk to you." All right. So there's not much else on the site as I'm looking at it right here, but he's picked up a lot of he's got somebody posting stories from the news about his plight, his situation with Papa John's, the company. And of course, Papa John's, he also bought an ad in the Courier Journal, and now, you know, don't get me railing about how stupid it is to buy ads in the Courier Journal to get a point across, because not that many people see it, but he did. He bought a full-page ad in the Courier Journal. Apparently, I didn't see it, but it was reported that he did so. So that's your update on Papa John. Of course, remember we had Neely Bendapudi on the show last week, the new president of the University of Louisville. Ask her about John Schnatter. You can go back and listen to that. And she's just great. And she's coming up. She's going to speak at the Breakfast of Champions. You can meet her. It's the second Tuesday in September. And we just started to publicize that, and we have a Facebook page up under Breakfast of Champions Louisville. Please go in there and RSVP and meet me over there. It's going to be fun. Really look forward to that one. So a couple other news items I thought were kind of stuff that gets me fired up. If you've seen the there's a bill by Representative Jim Wayne that would make it a crime. If you own a gun and you leave it out and a kid picks it up and shoots himself or a buddy or somebody else, uses it in a crime, you see these stories happen all the time on the news. And it irks me that no one is held responsible. They chalk them up as accidents when a 5-year-old, I think the latest story and the one that prompted Wayne to put his bill forward was that a 2-year-old shot himself in the head shot himself in the head in Park Duval. Now, do you think the person who owns that gun, who left it in where a 2-year-old could get it and pull the trigger, is going to be prosecuted? Well, there apparently the gun rights folks have kept this from becoming law. It's equivalent to me to the bike thing. You know, people hit people on bikes with their cars, and then they don't get charged either, because they always say it's an accident, there's no witnesses, whatever. But the crime of leaving your gun out and having a child pick it up and shoot something is something that I think should be fully prosecuted. And hopefully Jim Wayne's bill will pass, but I have my doubts. This is Kentucky. We're backwards here, I'm afraid to say. Speaking of backwards, there was a Joe Girth column got my attention the other day. He asked the rhetorical question, how would you feel if at your school somebody was campaigning to have "In Allah We Trust" plastered all around the school? Well, there's this politician that's in trouble in an election down in Hodgenville. His name's Brandon Reed, and so he's advocating a bill that would force schools to post "In God We Trust" all over the school. This is just despicable political move, if you ask me. The right wingers in Kentucky, the Republicans, the ones that are the extreme, they're always pushing forward these bills on things that have been settled long ago. I mean, it's been settled long ago that the Ten Commandments and God We Trust, you can't put religious message up in public schools. That's just the way it is. But still, these people challenge it every year. It's just like the abortion laws or some of the others. A lot of these Republicans come up with they get a brainstorm. Hey, I can get some votes in my district if I look like I'm really pushing for something that, even though it's unconstitutional, it's something that we all want. So I urge you to read Joe Girth's column on that subject. It's a good one. It's a good one. So, and lastly, if you've been to the state fair this year, I am refusing. I'm all for tourism, and I'm all for boosting attendance at the fair, But then they're doing something stupid. I was driving on Sunday. They've got this new parking plan in place over there. Number one, in that big field where the you used to have that the Executive Inn Hotel used to be, it's just a big field now, and so you can go over there and you can park for free now, because you know parking at the State Fair is outrageous. You know, it's $8 plus your admission and all that. But now they've got a plan. When it gets busy, they're going to close the front gates, so you can only get in on Preston and Crittenden, and that just makes no sense to me. There's like 10 gates there that you can go through, and they just closed them all. You go down the ramp from the airport, and you have to go right or left. You can't go into the fair that way at certain times. I don't know. There must be a way to know what times those things are going on. But I ran into it on Sunday. And just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe what's going on at the fair. Inside the fair, I don't know. That food, the donut burgers. I'm just not interested. I guess I'm too focused on this health thing. But I'm not interested in going and looking at all those fat people walking around smoking at the fair. If you want to know how I really feel about it, that's the way it is. All right, let's move on to some happier stuff, and that is bourbon. Bourbon is the subject of our Bourbon City Guest of the Week. Carrie Richardson is she works in PR, but she's also president of the Bourbon Women Association. She knows a lot about bourbon. We had her come in for E-Drink Talk back in April. And she made us some mint juleps, and they were really good. And so she came in the studio again for Rusty Satellite. Did not bring me anything to drink, unfortunately. But she was a delightful guest. I'm really glad. Really glad we were able to get her on the schedule and to come in. So and we talked about this symposium event coming up, and also some differences between men and women in terms of taste and taste buds and ability to smell things. And I think you'll find that very interesting. So here's our interview. This is me with Carrie Richardson right here in the studio.
Next up, it's the Bourbon City Guest of the Week, brought to you by the Louisville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Get a different taste.
I am with Carrie Richardson, our Bourbon City Guest of the Week.
Woohoo! What a lovely title.
Yeah, it beats president any day, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But Carrie is the president of the Bourbon Women Association, and y'all get a big event this week.
We have a huge event this week. This is our fifth annual Bourbon Women Association Symposium. It's not a symposium. It's the Symposium, okay. S-I-P. And it's back at the Brown Hotel. And we are thrilled to say that this is the first year that we are sold out, and sold out well in advance.
Okay. So I know some of the doors and stuff at the Brown. I think I'm going to try to sneak in.
Well, you know, I can't blame you. I can't blame you for trying to sneak in. And I should go ahead and say that.
How's the security?
It's porous. It's porous. You can probably slide in there. It's probably a good time to say that this is the Bourbon Women Association, but we do have men that come to our events. And as long as you don't mind being outnumbered, Rick, you're welcome to
attend.
Okay. Yeah.
I will sneak in. I don't mind being outnumbered. I just don't like paying. So, you know, that's the deal. But it's great. You have 150 women, and mostly women, signed up for this. And what do they do all weekend?
This is my fourth, I think, symposium to attend, and we have 3 days' worth of distillery tours, cocktail making, panel speakers, lots of different excursions around downtown Louisville, as well as surrounding areas, Bardstown, Lawrenceburg, things like that. So if this is an opportunity for our guests to really get immersed in the bourbon experience right here in the heart of bourbon country, to meet firsthand the people that make your bourbon, that taste mm-hmm. your bourbon, that bottle it, and figure out what's the process, and more importantly, figure out what do I like? Because there is a whole world of bourbon out there. It's not all the same.
Right.
So this is a good way to find out what do you really like, what do you enjoy about the experience, and what do you want to know more about bourbon.
Okay. Is this like an extended girls' night out for some people, I guess?
For some people, absolutely. we have repeat guests that come with their bunch of girlfriends every year. We have a lot of mothers and daughters that come together.
Wow.
And this is a bonding experience for them. We have mothers and daughters that come from as far away as Arizona every year.
Yeah, you told me 23 states represented.
It's 22 or 23 states, yeah. And it gets bigger every year. This year we've had a little bit broader reach. We were in Garden and Gun magazine last month,
Ooh.
Which was a big deal.
Yeah.
And gotten letters of interest from people in Texas and New York and all around the country looking to find out, how can I be part of Bourbon Women? Can I start my own branch? And how can I get into Symposium? It's been very exciting.
Are there branches in other states?
We do have branches in Indianapolis, Northern Kentucky, Chicago, Washington, D.C., and then we've got at least a half dozen on deck. We held back in adding on more branches this year. We wanted to make sure that all of our current branches were strong, and so we will add on some other branches next year. So if there's not one near you, then hang tight, because there's probably been interest in getting one started.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, you never know who's listening. Rusty Satellite Show is international in reach. So I was really curious about, you know, your organization, Bourbon Women Association, is about women, and, mm-hmm. and you know, the difference between men and women are always of interest.
Sure.
And you say in your press materials here that women are genetically more capable of picking up smells and flavors than men.
It's science. We are better at this. It's science. Yes.
I don't know. It's hard to dispute science. But right. What is that? I mean, really, because, I mean, I don't understand why... why it would be different.
The story is, well, it's not the story. The fact is that women have a larger olfactory bulb. You know, we've just got more smelling capacity than most men okay. do. So we can pick up odors more readily. So that means that we will pick up more aromas in the nose of a bourbon. We'll detect more on the palate. So what I have found when I do tasting side by side with men and women, women tend to pick up the nose and the palate a lot more. Men seem to be more interested in the finish of the bourbon, so that leads to very different tasting experiences. One thing that manifests in that is that women tend to prefer higher proof bourbon, which is not how bourbon is marketed to us. You know, no. At our Symposium conference this weekend, we have an annual contest called the Not Your Pink Drink Contest, where we say, you can make us any cocktail you want. It cannot be pink. Do not pinkify this stuff for us. And typically, the cocktails that win have strong, bold flavors. They're very bourbon forward. And we tend to pick higher proof bourbons. A couple of months ago, we had a great event with the Bourbon Brotherhood, which is an organization here in Louisville, and it was a blind tasting of Heaven Hill bourbon products. And I love Heaven Hill products. They just are fantastic top to bottom. Had about five or six different bourbons. And I gave them my spiel at the beginning about how women have more, you know, scent receptors than men do. And I said, I'm going to make a prediction that the women are going to choose the highest proof bourbon tonight as their favorite. And lo and behold, we did. Yeah. It was a blind tasting, and we chose the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof, which is one of my all-time favorite bourbons, and it clocks in at about 130 proof. Wow. So it's a hefty bourbon, and we were drinking those, you know, we're sampling them neat. The men's favorite was Pikesville Rye, which is also an outstanding whiskey, but significantly lower, about 110 proof. Yeah, so so we can pick up more flavors even though the alcohol content is a little bit higher. So so that makes it a lot of fun when we are doing some side-by-side tasting. We'll be doing a lot of that this weekend with a lot of different brands of bourbon.
No pink.
No pink.
I had on my E-Drink Talk podcast this week, our friend Carolyn came in, and she said there's this big trend in the world of drinking rosé.
Yes. That's fine.
You can refute that if you like, because I told her it was full of malarkey.
I personally can't do the rosé. It's too sweet for me. So it's not for me.
It's not a trend I want to see continue. No, but the other difference between men and women, I wanted to ask you about this because, you know, traditionally, like my girlfriend and a lot of women I know, mm-hmm. like, they only drink wine.
You know,
how are we going to get those people?
Yeah.
You know, over.
Well, that's actually my journey. I started as a wine drinker. I've always had a little bit of bourbon, but I started off as a pretty serious wine drinker. You know, my husband and I would travel to California. We'd do the wine tours out there. And the deeper we got into wine, bourbon was a sort of a natural transition. Because if you can nose and identify flavors and aromas in wine, you can absolutely do it in bourbon. It is much more difficult, I would say, to do it in bourbon than it is in wine. Just because the alcohol content's higher and there's more to compete with. But it made a really natural transition. And having it here in our backyard, how can you not?
So your advice to me with my girlfriend to convert her over is?
Mm-hmm. Start with a cocktail.
Okay.
Start with a cocktail that, and I would recommend something that is fruit forward but not sweet. So something like, actually an old fashioned is a great It was a great entry. And then I love a Manhattan, so a couple of those options would be good. We have a fantastic mixologist with Bourbon Women Association, Heather Wibbles, and she's nicknamed herself the Cocktail Contessa. Okay. She basically goes home after work every night and just makes cocktails, you know, creates new recipes. So she has a ton of recipes.
I need her address.
Yes, it's all of those recipes are on bourbonwomen.org, so you can find some really good approachable cocktails. But, yeah, start off with something that's got a couple of extra ingredients, but that lets the bourbon shine through, and that will bring her in. I have found that a lot of women avoid bourbon, too, because they've had one bad experience with it. You know, like everybody's had that time.
Well, everybody says that about tequila.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You know, you had the one bad round in college with tequila, and I'm never going to touch the stuff again. But it's pretty common for women to have that story, too. Like, oh, I had it in college one night. I'm never going to touch that rock, that stuff again.
She's got
Come
one
back.
Of Paula's got one of those stories from recently. So anyway, that's too bad for that.
Yeah.
But, the people that come to your event, are they, I mean, I know you get a lot of repeat people, but do you get some novices, some people that like, I've heard about bourbon, but I'm afraid to try it. So I'm going to go to this big event for 3 days and immerse myself in it.
Yes, because this is a safe, wonderful space to learn about bourbon, no matter where your on-ramp is. So we have folks that have been drinking bourbon for 40 years. We have people that are in their early 20s and just want to know more about it and sort of get trained up in what do I like, what do I need to look for when I taste a bourbon, that sort of thing. This is a great place to learn that. It's a safe place to learn that. And you're around a bunch of, you know, fellow women, and it's just not quite as intimidating. I mean, I'm not knocking on the men here, but I've been in tasting situations where it's easy to get lost in the shuffle when you're one of the only women at the bar. And so this is a good place to learn when there's a lot of back and forth and conversation.
You can make a face when you drink something.
Yeah, you sure can. And there's not as much, I'll say, trend chasing. You know, sometimes I've found that in tasting a different...
Like rosé.
Right. You know, people getting really excited about one trend over another. I'm like, no, just drink what you like. That's what we want.
That's right. You have in here, she sipped... You had some slogan in there about the way the lady likes it or whatever. But
anyway she likes it.
That's how she wants it.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to get to you know, you're around bourbon all the time. You do all this. I'm going like tomorrow night. Rabbit Hole is offering tours for the first time. That's you know,
so exciting. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm thinking because, and also I got something recently from Castle and Key, and they're getting started over there. And I mean, there's so many options. I mean, I'm looking at your itinerary. There's so many places for these people to go.
Sure.
Is there ever too much?
No. And every year we try to find the things that we have not yet done. I am over the moon that we're going to have a very exclusive tour of Vendome Copper this weekend, which is, they just don't do that. They just don't do tours at Vendome. So this is the place downtown that has been around for decades that makes all the copper stills and piping for most of our local distilleries has made it in the past and makes it, you know, across the...
A lot of them are really spectacular to look at when they're first installed.
Yes, and, you know, and the still columns that are just stories tall. So I'm thrilled that we're going to get a chance to do that. That's what we want for our members, is the opportunity to have experiences that you can't get anywhere else, that you can't really get just doing the regular tours of the distilleries or tours of different tasting
Because
bars.
At some point, I hear people say this a lot, you know... Everybody's got their own unique story, but they tend to merge together. You go stand around the mash pit, and, you know, stick your finger in, and then you go and look at the still, and you know, the basic guts of it are all the same.
Exactly.
And they start to sound alike after
a while. Exactly. So we try to find things that differentiate our distilleries and differentiate the bourbon experiences from what you can get as a regular tourist. And since we've got such strong ties to the industry, we're able to do that. So we're able to call up literally our friends at Vendome and say, can you help us out? This will be the second year that we will return to the Brown-Forman Cooperage. You don't get in there either. And so we get to see the barrels being made and fired, and it's an extraordinary experience.
So you see things with your organization that regular guys paying the $10 to get in or whatever.
Yeah, you just can't get that anywhere else.
Well, that's very, very cool.
Yeah.
I was thinking of new experiences, and I just ask you, You know, we went down to the Bardstown Bourbon Company a few weeks ago.
Yes, how was it? I haven't been yet.
You haven't been to the the restaurant down there is outstanding.
Getting high marks.
I'm surprised it's not on this list because it's very unique.
Yeah.
You know, of all the things we talk about, the distillery tours and everything, but a few of them have restaurants or the ones that do. Like I've been to the Maker's Restaurant, and it's it's okay, but it's not like this place. This place is like it would fit in downtown Louisville.
Sure.
Is that kind of upscale restaurant. So
it's really exciting to see that blossoming in our smaller communities that are still bourbon focused. So that's happening in Lawrenceburg. It's happening in Bardstown. It's happening in Shelbyville. You know, there's distilleries now in Oldham County. There's distilleries all over the place.
And we're seeing, and I guess, blossoming. Because of that law that changed a couple of years ago, we're seeing they're all like opening up for cocktails.
Which is fantastic. And the other law that's changed that's made a big difference in your drinking experience at a restaurant is the ability to buy and sell vintage bottles.
Right.
So that's
a big program down at Bardstown Bourbon Company.
Steve Nellie was telling
me about that.
So you can try some really hard to find or impossible to find.
They got
things.
Something that's $2,500 an ounce.
Well, I'm not going to be buying that. I said,
I'll take two.
Right. I love the fact that exists and that's available for people. I am just not the type of person to camp out overnight for a bottle of bourbon because,
oh,
I mean, it's exciting, you know, to have something that's rare and that's really coveted. But I also think there's so much excellent bourbon on the shelf for $50, $60, sometimes $30, sometimes less than that, that is readily available. I don't feel compelled.
A while back, I went up there on Brownsboro Road, that Party Mart, and I saw a bunch of people in a line out by the road, and I didn't know what it was for. And I finally found out, they're in line at the Party Mart for some rare bourbon.
There's some Pappy release or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. So any of that going to happen this weekend?
No, but if you were lucky enough to snag a ticket to the President's Tasting, which I'm hosting, then you will have an opportunity to taste some vintage pours. And I'll do this, you know, for the next couple of years while I'm president. We've always had a President's Special Tasting. And Susan Riegler is our immediate past president, and she has an amazing bourbon collection. So I thought, I'm not going to hang in with this. But I'm really tickled with what I'll have for those special ticket holders, including a mid-1990s Wild Turkey. That's a 12-year bourbon. That's going to be fantastic. I've got a 15-year bourbon called Anderson Club that was made by Heaven Hill. It's no longer made. It was only exported to Japan. And then we've got a Blanton's called Straight from the Barrel. So it's a barrel proof. You can't get that here either. That's a European export only. So, and then
I just
a few
don't see
surprises.
How people collect bourbon. As soon as I get it, I drink it.
Well, and I'm frankly too cheap to do a lot of that. We splurged to get these really special pieces, and I can't wait to crack those open on Saturday night.
Well, good. Well, if you want to be like me and sneak in, it's at the Brown Hotel this weekend. There are some events that if you go on the website, you can buy individual tickets for a couple of
things. We still have a couple of special dinner event tickets available on Saturday evening. The chef's table at the Brown Hotel is one of them that still has some tickets available. I think we also have a couple of tickets available for the Churchill Downs chef at board member Monica Wolf's home in Butchertown. It's a beautiful home. It's going to be a fantastic dinner. And then if you can't make it at all this weekend, we have events throughout the year. We still have a couple of events coming up in November and December. For example, Sip and Shop is our annual holiday. Our annual holiday purchase. And that's something that we do with our partners at Westport Whiskey and Wine. We're going to go with them next week to select the Bourbon Women barrel selection from Four Roses, and that is always an outstanding bottle. So put that on your calendar to make sure you pick that up for Christmas this year.
All right. Well, there you go. Well, we got to wrap it up here, Carrie. I'm happy to have all these people in town this weekend. It's going to be great.
It's going to be wonderful.
We'll mention your website, bourbonwomen.org, and say hello to my pal Peggy for me.
We'll
be back with more of the Rusty Satellite Show right after this. Yes, that was fun having Carrie into the studio. And it was also fun going down to Portland to see Richard Sullivan. Remember, you can go to his studio and buy paintings that are half off. He's got paintings of like members of the Atlanta Braves. I don't know if the Lamar Jackson one will be available for sale, but he's got a bunch of great stuff down there. Urge you to go down and see. There's a lot of great organizations and stuff in the Dolfinger building that Gil Holland has basically single-handedly revamped and gotten people in there. So it's a really cool spot. That's what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. I appreciate you tuning in. Remember, the Leo Reader's Choice Awards are going on, and you can write in Rusty Satellite Show under Best Local Podcast, and you know, certainly it'd be fun to win that, wouldn't it? You know, this is an independent podcast. A lot of your podcasts around town are products of media organizations. You know, there's a lot of different podcasts around town, but this one has been going on for 5 years, and 5 years plus, two guests a week, each and every week, and I hope you find it very interesting. I do. I appreciate you listening. I'm always open to the idea of you suggesting a guest. You can do that with me on Facebook. I will accept your friend request and listen to your pitch at Rick Redding, or there is a Rusty Satellite Show Facebook page as well. And Carolyn, my partner on E-Drink Talk, would be upset with me if I didn't mention that you could also write in E-Drink Talk as the best local podcast. And we do that show each and every week. It's a lot of fun. We talk about food and drinking and all that stuff. So all in all, it keeps me busy. I've been doing a lot of freelance writing here recently, and just I got a lot going on, and it's a lot of fun. So anyway, thanks for joining me and listen to what I have to say here on the Rusty Satellite Show. And thanks to my sponsors, which are Passport Health Plan, the Louisville Tourism, the Eye Care Institute, and my friends at Heiser Health. And they're all doing good things for me and good things for the show and good things for the city. All of them would appreciate your business, I'm sure. So anyway, this is Rick Redding signing off. I've got a big plan for a great show next week, and I'll fill you in on that then.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.